Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning that we can gather in your presence. Indeed, Lord, we ask that you would still our hearts at this moment to hear you speak to us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. A very good morning to all of you. Today we celebrate and remember Youth Day, and therefore we have two of our young people who are here serving at this service as scripture reader and intercessor later on. And for today's sermon topic, we are looking at empowering the next generation. I believe this is a topic that is much talked about, not only in the church, but also in the schools, in the marketplace, and even in the political arena. But what does it mean to empower the next generation, especially in the context of the church? Perhaps some of us may point out 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, as a good example. Over here, Paul has sent Timothy, someone who has been very close to Paul, following him for the past few years, and who may be considered as his protege. And now Paul has sent Timothy to this really problematic church in Corinth to provide that pastoral leadership on Paul's behalf. Paul was like sending Timothy to the deep end of the ocean for him to now swim on his own. And quite often, this is how many people consider what it means to empower the next generation. It's all about, you know, sending the next gen out to do something or to accomplish something. But, you know, if we take a closer look at our passage today from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we will see from Paul's example that it is not just about sending or releasing the next generation for a good cause. In order to effectively empower the next generation, two things that we must consider as well. The first is the way we see the next generation. How do you see the next generation? And I'm not just referring to the youths, because for the older ones here, your next generation may also include people like me who are in their 40s. And for the youths, your next generation would be the children, the toddlers, the infants. So how do you see your next generation? Well, let's have a look at how Paul saw his next generation, how Paul saw Timothy. In verse 17, Paul saw Timothy as his child, not biological, but his spiritual son, which is equally significant. In fact, in verses 14 and 15, this is how Paul also saw the people in the Corinth church as his own beloved children. Now you may notice how Paul makes this distinction between guides or tutors in Christ and fathers or spiritual parents in Christ. These guides were people hired to teach or to take care of the children in the family. And perhaps Paul was referring to the teachers of the word or leaders in the church who were given this duty to look after spiritual infants. And the main difference between these guides and Paul as a spiritual father is this. The guides focus on fulfilling just that personal responsibility over the children. But Paul, as a spiritual father, he focused on fostering a personal relationship with his children. For the guides, they were just doing their job. For Paul, it was more than just a job. And you know, even though the people in Corinth were creating such a mess in the church, Paul regarded them not as burdensome, but as his beloved children. Wow. Paul loved them. Paul was so committed in this relationship with them, no matter what. And also with Timothy, because he saw them as his very own beloved children. What about us today, my friends? How do you see your next generation? Do you see them only as successor or replacement? And we just want to, you know, quickly pass the baton to the next gen so that we can step down from the areas of service? Do we see them only as leaders of tomorrow or leaders of today? You know, sometimes it's said that youths are sometimes seen by church members as the Labour Party, those whom we call when we need help to do this or that. Sometimes it's said that, you know, the toddlers, the infants, the children at the service are seen by church members as disturbance, as disruptive, as unwelcome guests. My friends, if we really want to empower the next generation, we first need to change our perception. We need to see the next generation as our own beloved children. We need to think about fostering a relationship with them. We need to accept them. We need to love them as our own. And you know, one of the things that young people are looking for today is meaningful relationships. The Barna Group, if you have heard of them, in partnership with World Vision, well, they have done an extensive survey a few years ago, interviewing more than 15,000 people aged 18 to 35 in 25 countries, including Singapore, concerning their goals, their fears, their relationships, routines, and beliefs. And one of the things that were highlighted is how this generation of young people is more connected than ever before, yet their connectivity coexists with these paradoxical levels of isolation and loneliness. And surprisingly, in this survey, Singapore is one of the lowest, or one of the countries that has the lowest percentage of people, young people, experiencing strong connectivity in relationship. Only 26% often feel deeply cared by those around them. Only 27% feel like someone believes in them. In other words, my friends, about 3 out of 4 young people here in Singapore do not have someone in their lives who care deeply for them or believe in them. 3 out of 4 young people here in Singapore probably are looking for more connectivity, for meaningful relationship. And many of them, I believe, are in our midst, in this cathedral, waiting for us to see them as our own spiritual children, waiting for us to foster that relationship with them. And friends, our gospel lesson today shows us how even Jesus himself perceives the people of God as a family with stronger ties than even biological families share. And you know very well that one of the most predominant images given of the church in Scripture is also that of family. Christians recognizing one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as spiritual parents and spiritual children in Christ. My friends, this is how we need to see one another, especially the next generation in the cathedral. Now, Paul's example in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 should also cause us to think about setting an example for the next generation. In verse 16, Paul urged his beloved children to be imitators of him. Now, of course, Paul wasn't a narcissist, but his whole intention was ultimately for his spiritual children to imitate Christ by following his own example of imitating Christ. And that is why later on in verse 17, Paul talks about sending Timothy to remind the Corinthians of his ways, not just his teaching, but his ways of life in Christ. And I suspect Paul probably knew that people follow or people do what they see more than what they hear. Actions speaks louder than words. Now, if you ask me, I honestly cannot remember anything that my own pastor has preached 20 years ago. But I will always remember how he interacted with the stallholders
at a coffee shop and share the gospel with them whenever there is an opportunity. And that example has taught me what it means to be a witness for Christ. I will always remember how he coped with the challenges in his own life and gave thanks to God no matter what. And that example, the way he lived his life, taught me what it means to trust in the Lord. Now, of course, I'm not saying that there is no point in preaching or teaching God's word, otherwise I would not be here. But so often, my friends, our actions, our examples, speak so much louder than words. So what examples are we setting for our next generation through our ways of life in Christ, through our conduct, through our speech, attitude, in and out of the church? And this, my friends, is an important question for us if we are serious about empowering the next generation. You see, Timothy was empowered to lead the church and even became the example for others to follow because Timothy first had a spiritual father like Paul whom he can emulate. You know, the survey by the Barna Group also highlighted how young people who remain committed to Jesus and to the church today, they will strongly agree that they had adult, they had non-family friends in their church when they were growing up. So parents and grandparents weren't their only models of adult faithfulness. Let me also share something from this book, Faith to the Exile, which talks about the intergenerational relationships in church. And here it says, each young disciple needs champions outside their immediate family who follow Jesus and can sponsor their spiritual development. Other adults who can shape them, speak into their lives, and help them develop their gifts. We cannot overstate the importance of these relationships with adults outside the family, especially as children move through their teens years. There are some things kids simply won't be able to hear from or work through with their parents, but high-quality, Jesus-seeking adults in their lives can help them or can keep them involved in church, be people they want to be around, and provide them with examples they can emulate. So, friends, the examples that we are setting today, the relationship that we have with our young people today or with your next generation today are important if we are thinking about empowering the next generation. And perhaps, you know, we should be more concerned about what we are like today than what the next generation will be like tomorrow. Because what the next generation will be like tomorrow largely depends on what they see us today as followers of Christ. Why should we care about anything, or why should you care about anything that I've said today, or about empowering the next generation? I believe it's because Christianity is one generation away from extinction. You probably have heard this long ago, this phrase. And you know, recent headlines like this in our local news remind us of the possibility of this happening in Singapore. And this, of course, has happened before historically in Judges chapter 2, where the second generation that came after Joshua grew up not knowing God nor the work that God had done for Israel, and they ended up abandoning the Lord. And it's not because of something bad that their previous generation has done, but more likely it was because the previous generation did nothing. They did nothing to nurture or to empower their next generation for the Lord. And likewise, if we choose to do nothing today, if we choose to have that mentality that someone else will do the job, and we do nothing today about the next generation, we are likely to face the same consequence. So what can we do? What can we do? Friends, at this point, allow me to show you a video produced by our youths, which offers a glimpse of what has been happening at our youth service, which has started since January this year. So let's take a few minutes to watch this video.
Hey, you're Eric Christian from Lottery.
Thank you so much for having me. Wow, this place looks really exciting. I want to know a little bit more about this service. Can I ask a few questions?
Sure, what's up?
So, what do you guys do here?
Well, my name is Amanda and I serve as a befriender, part of the hospitality team.
And how would you describe the youth ministry?
Well, I would say it's vibrant and fun.
Yeah. Oh, hey there. Nice to meet you guys. What's going on here?
We're preparing for service. By the way, hi, I'm Erin. I'm Victoria. And we are part of the hospital.
Wow. And are you guys currently open to newcomers?
Yeah, of course. Everyone is welcome here.
Ooh, what's that?
This is a one-of-a-kind youth ministry mask. Isn't it pretty?
It sure is. Do you mind if I have one?
Of course.
So, Amanda, do you look forward to each and every Sunday?
Of course. Come, let me introduce you to some more of our friends.
Hey guys, who are you and what's going on here?
Hi, I'm Amanda.
And I'm Samuel, and we're preparing the EV and the sound for the service later.
Whoa, that sounds really cool. Do you mind if I take a look?
Sure, come in.
Wow, that's a lot of buttons and lights. What do all those slidey things do?
They actually the volume, but we have much more like functions and things that we can use for our soundboard.
And that's just one button. You know, I imagine it must be really difficult to be in the AV team. So, on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the most difficult, how would you rate being in the AV team?
1, 2, 3, 8!
7.
Well, it's initially very hard because of the learning curve, but after a while it gets easier from there.
Well, I think it'll take me years to learn. You guys are awesome.
Hi, Reverend Daniel.
Hello.
My name will catch up with you later.
Sure.
So, people here at the youth service, we are kind of involved in different ways. So, I'm in the hospitality team. We just met the AV team and we have the worship team and even cell groups.
Wow, that sounds really amazing. I didn't know that this youth ministry is so passionate and enthusiastic about serving.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we do have quite a number of ways that we can serve here. This is your first time, right?
It sure is. And I'm really excited to be here.
That's great. So let me introduce you to one of our cell groups. This is Justin's cell group right here.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Yeah, no problem.
So, what do you guys do in the cell group?
Just now, Isaac was just showing us some of his dance moves. But usually we have some Bible study, we chit-chat and hang out as friends.
I see. And would you say that being in a cell group is important?
Of course. We are able to learn about God even outside our service.
And would you recommend someone new, perhaps someone like me, to join a cell group?
Yes, definitely. On top of learning about God together, you also get to meet new people, make new friends.
That's great. And alright, one last question. What is the best part about your CG?
We have deep conversations.
Bonds and friendships that last.
Wow. Thank you so much, guys. I hope you enjoy service today.
Bye.
So, Amanda, what happens to someone who is, you know, not in the cell group?
Oh, well, you don't have to worry too much about that. We do try and sit with our newcomers who come for the first time every week. Yeah, but we do hope that subsequently they will integrate and join one of our cell groups.
I see. Thanks so much.
No problem.
Hey, guys. Am I interrupting anything?
No, not at all.
Can I ask you guys some questions?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So, what's your name and what do you play?
So I'm Michael. I sing and I, you know, play the guitar.
Whoa. And how often do you guys practice as a worship team?
Yeah, so we have a main rehearsal every Saturday evening, followed by one last rehearsal before service.
Whoa, that sounds really intense. And what would you say is your favourite worship song?
I think my favourite is It Is Well, the Bethel version.
Whoa, that's cool. Hey there, what instrument are you playing?
Hi, this is a cajon. It's a percussion instrument.
And what would you say is your favourite part about being in the worship team?
My favorite part about being in the worship team is just coming here every week to pray and like worship and serve the Lord.
Thanks so much. Wow, these guys are really talented. play really well. Oh, it's Reverend Daniel. Hi, Reverend Daniel. I actually have a few questions for you.
Sure.
So, for you, what is the most difficult part about starting a new service like this here at the Youth Ministry?
Well, I have to say, it's getting people, like-minded people who have the same burden to want to start this service and to who are committed to make this happen together.
I see. And for you, what has been the most rewarding part about running this entire youth service?
Wow, there are quite a lot to say about this, but I guess the most rewarding part is to see, you know, young people just coming together to love Jesus and to love His Word.
I see. Thank you so much, Reverend Daniel. And, oh, looks like service is just about to start. And we're down to our final and very last question. So, Reverend Daniel, what is one message that you would like to convey to all those watching about our youth ministry here at Cathedral?
Well, you know, the Bible talks about the Christian community as a body, where each part of the body has a significant role to play. So whoever is watching this, whether you are young or not so young, you have a significant role to play in building up the Cathedral Youth Ministry. So come join us and let us do this together, all for the glory of God.
Thank you so much, Reverend Daniel. It was great to get to know you and the rest of the team here at Cathedral Youth Ministry. Bye.
Friends, I hope this video gives us a glimpse of what happens at the youth service and also for you to recognize or to see the faces of some of your young people, some of your own spiritual children here in the cathedral. And we want to praise God that our youth service currently has about 50 regular worshippers each week, and there are about 70 who are attending our youth cell group online. However, friends, we only have 18 youth leaders leading the cells, planning the weekly program, and involving in many other ministries. And these youth leaders are in need of spiritual parents as well, as much as the people whom they are serving do. So, friends, this is an area where you can do something for the next generation. In fact, we also want to praise God for some of our children programs which will return on-site from next weekend, after 1.5 or almost 2 years of having online program. We praise God for that. Details may be found in our church website and bulletin. Currently, we have 250 children attending our weekly program, even though it was online. We have 250 attending online program each weekend, but we only have 40 teachers and helpers doing everything and serving almost every week for the past few years. Again, this is an area where you can do something for the next generation. In recent months, we are also seeing more and more young adults walking into the cathedral and joining the various services, adult services. Many of them are looking for cell groups. Many of them are looking for spiritual parents to disciple them, to mentor them. This is an area we can do something for the next generation. And I suspect there are also many in my age group who may be like spiritual orphans. Yes, they have membership in the church, but do they have membership in the family? Are they recognized not only as church members, but as spiritual children to the generation before them? For those of you who are older, you can do something for your next generation. Friends, there is no point having the next generation in the church if there are no spiritual parents in the church willing to invest their time and energy to raise them up in the ways of Christ. And I believe God is calling not only the next generation to rise up, but God is calling all of us here. Whichever generation that you represent, God is calling all of us here to rise up, to do something for the next generation, so that the next generation can pass on that fire to their next generation. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word today that brings our attention to what it means for us to empower our next generation. Forgive us, Lord, when at times we have neglected or failed in this calling as spiritual parents to our next generation. O Lord, please help us to respond in obedience and in faith to what you may be saying to each one of us today and to what you may be calling us to do for our next generation. Above all, Lord, help us to be imitators of Christ so that our life, our ways of life in Christ may become an example for our next generation to emulate and to pass on to their next gen. And God, we also want to remember the young people, especially those who are in our midst this morning. We ask that you would guard their hearts and their minds from conforming to worldliness and from all forms of deceptions. We pray that, Lord, you would direct their paths to you and to your word in their search for truths and meaning in life. And Father, we pray also for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit over our young people in this cathedral, that will ignite a deeper desire in them for greater intimacy with Jesus and a stronger determination to walk in your ways and to glorify your name in all that they do in their lifetime. So we commit our young people to you, Lord. Bless them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.